Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question at that time, please press star then one. I would now like to turn the conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Chairman George Miller. So you may begin.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you all for joining our call today to discuss the introduction of the Local Jobs for America Act. On this call, I will be joined by Mayor Elizabeth Kautz, who is the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors from Burnsville, Minnesota, Congressman Keith Ellison from Minnesota, and Mayor Ron Loveridge, president of the National League of Cities from Riverside, California, and Congressman Phil Hare from Illinois. All of these parties have been working very hard to bring this legislation together to get it prepared for introduction, and it has bipartisan support in those organizations. And, you know, last month marked the one-year anniversary of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and over the past year it's clear that the Recovery Act helped save our economy from the brink of a complete meltdown. But the Recovery Act was just one of many steps that we need to put America back to work. Today we are introducing a new jobs plan that will save and create 1 million public and private sector jobs in local communities across the country. We work closely with the mayors, the county officials, and local leaders who know how hard this economic storm has been on their communities. The Local Jobs for America Act will save or create jobs quickly in both the public and private sector and help restore vital services that families and local communities rely on. This recession has forced states and municipalities to cut hundreds of thousands of jobs in education, public safety, and other important local services. We are talking about teachers, firefighters, public health officials, building inspectors, health inspectors, child care workers, nurses, and librarians, all of the critical services that hold together our civil society in America. In most cases, local officials either raise taxes or lay off workers when facing this kind of budget crisis that they face today. We want to do everything we can to keep them from having to make that decision. The Local Jobs for America Act will invest $100 billion over 2 years to save and create jobs to rebuild local communities in four key ways. First, it will save or create up to 1 million public or private sector jobs for local workers. $75 billion of these funds will go directly to local communities and nonprofits to hire workers. This is a bill for Main Street, not Wall Street. All of the money will go to Main Street. Mayors and county executives and other local officials will decide how best to use this funding. If a city needs to maintain its road crews, it can maintain its road crews. If it needs to expand its road crews because of the brutal storms this winter, they can expand their road crews. If they need school aides, they can hire school aides. They know best what their community needs and the services that have been cut because of the economy. The bill also includes substantial investment to fund salaries for private sector on-the-job training programs so local businesses can put people back to work in the local economies. Second, it will increase consumer spending that will also spur more hiring for local businesses. Creating jobs for the unemployed is good for those individual workers and, again, good for the local economy. This, in turn, means more money spent, again, at their neighborhood businesses or favorite restaurants. Third, this bill will help restore key services for communities without raising taxes on families. And finally, it includes more than $24 billion in aid to governors to support education and public safety jobs. These are provisions that the House passed in December of last year. This includes $23 billion to help maintain 250,000 school teaching jobs and classroom aides and other school staff. It also includes $1.1 billion to put 5,500 law enforcement officials back on the beat. Again, I would like to welcome to this call Congressman Keith Ellison, Congressman Phil Hare, Mayor Elizabeth Kautz, and Mayor Ron Loveridge. Both Congressman Ellison and Congressman Hare are members of the House Jobs Task Force and have been leaders in exploring the ways to create real jobs that we can count, that people can count on in our local communities. And Mayor Kautz is president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors and has been working with us very closely along with Mayor Ron Loveridge, who is the president of the National League of Cities. And now I would like to recognize Mayor Elizabeth Kautz, who is the president of the Conference of Mayors from Burnsville, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us, Mayor.
Thank you, Chairman Miller. On behalf of the nation's mayors, Chairman Miller, we thank you for hearing the call and answering the mayor's call. You know, we have been working directly with Chairman Miller and his team for the past several months on the details of this critically needed legislation. And I also want to now thank our congressman from one of our great congressmen from Minnesota, Congressman Ellison, and Congressman Hare, for joining us in this effort, as well as my colleague from the National League of Cities, Mayor Ronald Loveridge. It's been a hard job to help get this through, but Chairman Miller has been wonderful to work with. The bill will respond directly to the needs of Main Street America. To the point, it will help us to retain existing jobs, restore lost jobs, and create new jobs. While we are all familiar with the national unemployment figures, it is important to note that joblessness in this country is highest in cities and their metro areas, where the majority of people live. And mayors are the elected officials who are the most closely to the people and deal face-to-face with the unemployed people of our communities because we interact with them daily. They are our residents, and we see them everywhere in our communities. And they tell us the same thing. All they want is a good, dependable job so they can support their families and keep their homes. Economic forecasts show that if we do not do anything, by 2011, over 100 metropolitan areas will still have an unemployed rate higher than 10%. And of course, the center city of these metro areas will have even higher unemployment numbers. Already, cities like Los Angeles have an unemployment rate of 13.5%. Philadelphia's unemployment rate is 10.6%. In Trenton, New Jersey, it is 13%, and in Providence, Rhode Island, it is 14.9%. In response, mayors put forward a 2010 Metro Agenda for America that we believe is the fastest and most direct way to create jobs. We know from experience that investment in metropolitan economies with direct funding to cities can save, restore, and create jobs, and can do it very quickly. Of course, the loss of jobs has often meant the loss of homes, and foreclosures lead to reduced property tax revenues, which means less money to pay for the same services, budget cuts, and layoffs. Mayors are holding the nation together by making impossible decisions every day, and we have cut and cut to the point where only bone is now left. The Conference of Mayors is a bipartisan group from cities large and small, and we all share the same concern, people in our cities who are out of work. So we appreciate that Congress now understands the key to addressing widespread joblessness is to move resources directly to the local areas and metropolitan economies that drive the nation. We have no time to waste. The nation's mayors fully endorse this bill and will work hard to ensure its passage. Thank you, Chairman Miller, for your help and your efforts in bringing this bill forward.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I would like now to recognize Congressman Phil Hare from Illinois, one of the chief architects of this legislation that we will be introducing today. Congressman Hare.
Thank you so much, Chairman. And let me thank Chairman Miller for putting forth a plan that will directly put Americans back to work. We've talked about this a lot, and you know, we need a bill, and the chairman has crafted a bill that will get people to work immediately. And that is something with 14.9 million Americans unemployed, with more than 40% of them have been unemployed for more than 6 months. And this Congress needs to move forward on a direct jobs plan, and I'm just, you know, proud to be have played a small part in this. This legislation includes, as the chairman mentioned, $75 billion over 2 years to local communities to hire vital staff, funding for 50,000 on-the-job private sector training positions, $23 billion this year to help states support 250,000 education jobs, and $1.18 billion to put 5,500 law enforcement officers on the beat, and $500 million to retain, rehire, and hire firefighters. I just left my district to come back to Washington, D.C., and I was doing some schools. The school districts in my district are cutting 10-15%, literally hundreds of teachers are going to be laid off and laid off very, very soon. Just a few hours ago, the governor of our state gave his annual budget address, and he outlined a very tough program to borrow billions of dollars and to cut $2 billion of programs. His staff warned us that this is going to mean about 13,000 teachers and staffs are going to lose their jobs. And districts like mine, which include many rural communities, were hurting long before this current economic crisis struck, as our nation's manufacturing base continued to shrink and move overseas. And that's why I'm so appreciative that the legislation that the chairman has crafted will not just help big cities like Minneapolis, but small ones like Galesburg, Illinois as well. As the chairman mentioned, when we passed the Recovery Act, we included funding for our nation's teachers, firefighters, and police, and this bill continues that investment, something that I believe that every American supports. The Local Jobs for America Act could prevent layoffs by providing the revenue necessary to retain these critical positions. That's the importance of passing this bill. And when enacted, this bill will spur economic investment in our communities, it will bolster tax revenue, and it will move people off of unemployment. More importantly, it will give struggling Americans the dignity that comes with having a job. And I look forward to working with Chairman Miller and all the House colleagues on passing this excellent piece of legislation. There is no time for delay here. The chairman is absolutely spot on when he says we need to do this and do it now. And I look forward to working with him in any way possible to be able to pass this bill. And once again, Chairman, thank you for a wonderful bill, and I look forward to working with you all the way through.
Thank you, Congressman Hare. Now I would like to recognize Mayor Ron Loveridge, who is the president of the National League of Cities from Riverside, California.
Thank you very much. As president of the National League of Cities, represent 19,000 cities and towns across this country. Let me thank Chairman Miller and his colleagues for your leadership in developing this this vitally important jobs bill. This is a key and timely legislation which comes when cities really face the worst economic circumstances since the Great Depression. Revenues are down, service needs are at their highest. Even more important, I think, that the research of the National League of Cities shows the ability of cities to meet their financial needs is now in jeopardy and will most likely worsen substantially through the rest of 2010. I mean, the overall numbers are both striking and dismaying, and they really do provide a wake-up call for action now. Estimate is that cities will face shortfalls between $56 to $83 billion between 2010 and 12. That states will cut aid to cities in the range of $21 to $30 billion between 2010 and 2012. And we calculate that the state and local governments will lay off somewhere between 600,000 to 700,000 people in 2010, and in 2012 it could be as high as another 900,000. The cities just are continuing to make very difficult choices of cutting services and furloughing workers. And we're now beginning to see cities cut fire and police services, which are essential to not only safety but quality of life. Traditionally, this is the last resort, but it just underlines and underscores what is now taking place. This focus on jobs is at the center ring of what we've been talking about at the League of National League of Cities. It will provide assistance to cities as we try to protect public safety and to avoid laying off municipal workers. It will also help build a foundation for future growth. It will put large numbers of unemployed Americans back to work. This bill will be one of the NLC's top priorities as we meet next week in Washington, some 2,000 strong. We'll be meeting with administrative officials and particularly with members of Congress. We look forward to working with Congress and President to pass this critically much-needed bill, Local Jobs for America Act. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much for your support and for all your work on this, Mayor Loveridge. Now I'd like to recognize another one of my congressional colleagues, Keith Ellison, who is also one of the major architects of this legislation and very instrumental in helping us with the with the Congressional Black Caucus in support of this legislation. Congressman Ellison? Keith, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Keith.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Good, good. Well, Chairman, let me thank you for your work on this. And also, Congressman Hare, you and I spend many hours talking about the need to get Americans back to work. And the mayors who are on the call, bless you for the work that you do. You're on the front line, fighting hard every day to improve the quality of life for the people you represent. And I think that the message here is that you're not alone. Congress is working to respond to your needs and the needs of Americans. You know, in the 1930s, you know, we had massive unemployment. And at that time, our country responded to the needs of people who were unemployed. And I don't think our generation can do any less. And that's why I'm glad to be part of this effort. And want to, again, thank Chairman Miller. And I also want to say, too, that you know, with nearly 15 million Americans out of work, you know, there's no more urgent task before us than creating jobs. And I just want to say that as difficult as this period of economic turmoil is, it's even more difficult for some folks. I mean, the fact is the national rate of unemployment is 9.7% in February, but for African Americans it's 16.5%. For Latinos, it's almost 13%. And so the fact is we're all in this thing in pain together, but for some families it's even tougher than folks who have it tough already. And so I'm glad that we're pushing this effort forward. And I just want to say that I'm excited about this legislation. We will need to have a full court press effort to make sure that it gets on the president's desk in short order. And it will require the persuasive skills of all of us. And so I think it's great for us to be in connection with each other, local government, Congress, everybody in between, working to make sure that we get the Local Jobs for America Act passed into law.
Thank you very much. Operator, now we will open it up for questions. And if people would identify what organization they represent when they ask the questions, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then one. Please identify yourself by your name and your publication. Once again, to ask a question, press star, then one. Our first question from Lori Montgomery. Please state your affiliation.
Hi, this is Lori Montgomery at the Washington Post. Chairman Miller, I know one of your other top priorities for job creation is helping people go to college. Could you discuss the prospects for getting the Pell Grant program included in the reconciliation bill for health care?
I think they're pretty good on it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that on this press call, but we met, House and Senate leadership met last night. We discussed it for a fair amount of time. We're getting some information from CBO, and I think it's on the agenda to be discussed again tonight when we go back on the health care reconciliation bills later this evening.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Kevin Diaz.
Yeah, thank you. This is a question for any of the Democrats on the call. I'm wondering, this is going to be dropped today, I understand. The Senate is voting on another bill this afternoon. The House passed a bill back in December. Is there any thought among Democrats of putting together some kind of coordinated legislative strategy on jobs? Because this looks rather piecemeal.
Well, which looks rather piecemeal?
The whole jobs effort. I mean, you've got different bills coming out of different chambers, nibbling at different parts of the jobs picture.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
And no one central strategy that is easy for the public to grasp.
Well, it's the messy business of democracy. You know, the Senate has some inherent problems. We have problems here. We sent a jobs bill over that we thought was very important in December. They were unable to act on it. They've taken a couple of pieces of that now, and they've acted on one, and they're getting ready to act on another. The public jobs that were in that bill have not been fully responded to. We're including them in this legislation. I hope that we will be able to take this up. That's a question for the leadership on whether it's going to be paid for or not. Most importantly, though, we think it's important to put down a marker at a time when a number of economists are telling us that the layoffs that could possibly take place in the cities beginning at this time of year, as cities put their budgets together, could eradicate all of the good news that we're getting. Remember, we're now measuring good news in tens of thousands of jobs on jobs lost or jobs gained. And when you look at what's going on in school districts, what's happening to cities, what's happening to county governments and states, that if we don't do something to help them, we could wipe out what's happening in the private sector. Municipal employment is at its lowest level since 1980. that gives you an idea. But the demand for services is in every one of these cities, and I would certainly welcome Mayor Loveridge and Mayor Coutts to respond to this. I mean, we think it's important that we stake out this statement of here's a way that's relatively inexpensive compared to other job creation to directly create jobs in the shortest period of time and keep together those vital services that allow our communities to thrive.
If I could just take a shot at this, too, Mr.
That's one of the mayors.
Okay, sure.
I'll approach you. Either mayor?
Yes, Mayor Elizabeth Coutts from Burnsville, Minnesota. Chairman Miller, you're absolutely correct. I can tell you that in the state of Minnesota, all municipal governments have been laying off and furloughing people for our 2010 budgets, and we forecast more layoffs from some of my colleagues around the metropolitan area as well. So we continue to look at our budgets. I know that we here in Burnsville had a 0% levy for 2010 and also cut. So it is difficult, and yet, as you have said, the demand for services continue to go up, and this is the time that we need to make sure that we retain the jobs that we have now and reinstitute some of the jobs that we have.
Ron Loveridge, let me just make a quick comment. Is this, we're not talking about cutting jobs at the edges or at the margins. We're talking about hundreds, thousands of jobs across this country. My neighboring city of Los Angeles is talking about layoffs of 4,000. But the number is quite startling when you begin to add up what is taking place across this country. And those numbers are not simply people. There are also services that support economic development, that support quality of life. And so I can't underscore enough the seriousness of what is called out of local jobs. That's where people live. That's where life is experienced.
Thank you. We'd glad to take another question, operator.
It is for relief you can trust.
Our next question from Doug Sovereign. Please state your publication.
Hi, it's Doug Sovereign, KCBS Radio, San Francisco. Congressman Miller,
yes.
Maybe I missed it, but how do you propose to pay for this program?
That's a question the leadership will have to deal with. I think that this should be considered part of the Recovery Act and recognize that in this economic downturn, these should be funded out of the deficit. We're not going to cure this deficit if we continue to lay people off. You cannot cure a deficit when you're running with 15 million people unemployed in a country, and you cannot cure it at the local level by laying people off and raising taxes. So this is part of curing and recovering the job numbers in this country. You know, we've done a pretty fair job with the Recovery Act, but clearly that's not going to be sufficient. While other parts of the economy may recover, jobs, by all predictions, are going to be much more difficult, and that's why we have to do this. If they want to fund it out of some of the TARP funds or how they want to do that, that's a subject for negotiations with the leadership. But we believe that leadership in both the House and the Senate and the Minister will come to recognize this jobs package is going to be necessary if we're going to get the recovery that Americans are looking forward to. Next question.
Next question from Erin Kelly. State your publication.
Hi, I'm with Gannett. I have a question for Mayor Loveridge, please. Mayor, I write for folks in Riverside County, and they're wondering specifically what types of jobs, both in the public and private sector, you see being saved or created by this bill.
The inland area is one of the areas that is very hard hit by this recession, by foreclosures. Our unemployment numbers are like 15%. There are hundreds and hundreds of teacher jobs which are at risk, and the same for city employees. As tried to emphasize earlier, we're not talking about employment at the margins. You're talking about at the absolute center ring of what cities do and how they deliver services. And if you pick up the local newspapers out here, it is a siege of bad news stories in cities and school districts and counties. It is one of, there's an implied kind of emergency of this Local Jobs Act, and that's what we are experiencing here in the inland area.
I don't know if Congressman Hare, if you wanted to comment on what you see at home, the kinds of jobs that would be saved here.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said, teachers come to mind immediately. The school boards in, you know, cities like Moline and Rock Island just met, and they're cutting 140, 150 teachers backward. As I said, 13,000 teachers statewide, with the budget deficit with Illinois being upside down $11 billion. First responders in smaller communities, and you know, I represent a lot of rural areas, and I again commend the chairman for, you know, putting the rural element in this thing too, because small cities like Monmouth, Illinois, they're taking a huge hit at city of 10,000, but they're caught up in this too. So, you know, here we're talking about literally thousands of people. Let me just say the one thing about this bill that I find really stands out is it works immediately. We're putting people to work right now. There's an old adage: if you're in a car going towards a cliff at 100 miles an hour, you don't need more time. You need to change your direction. This bill gives us that. And I believe that we'll be having people go back to work. People will see this. They'll understand it. And look, we have to invest in this, as the chairman said. It's going to cost some money, but every 1% of people unemployed costs us a ton of money.
Thank you. Another question? I think we have time for two more questions. Do we have another question?
Lisa Lambert, state your publication.
Hi, this is Lisa Lambert from Reuters. Representative Miller, I was just wondering if you might try to attach this legislation to the Senate jobs bill.
That's really a decision for the leadership, and those negotiations are ongoing. This is a very big bill because this is a very big problem. I don't think you can nickel and dime the solution to this, and Congressman Ellison can speak to this. So, you know, before we think about getting into negotiations on a jobs bill that's already moving, seems somewhat programmed to succeed, I think we want to make sure that we're able to keep the visibility on the magnitude of the problem in our communities and have a solution to match it, rather than to try to fit it in a preconceived notion of what will or will not pass the Senate in the next few days. I don't know, Keith, if you want to speak to that or not. This has been a discussion within the Black Caucus.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, the fact is that we need to continue to speed the national demand for real jobs legislation. People around the country want it. We're trying to mobilize voices all over. The fact is, we can manage all of the legislative mechanics, and we can focus on that. I'd rather focus on trying to get people to demand jobs now. Demand jobs now in the urban area. Demand them now in the rural area. Demand them all over this country. We're trying to create a national movement focused on an excellent bill, which people from both parties, from all sectors of our society, can get behind. And we'll work out the mechanics as we go.
We hope that when the, it would be premature to judge where this and how this bill will go. We hope when the mayors come to town this next week that as they visit Capitol Hill, this will be among their top priorities to talk to their congressional representatives, their Senate representatives about, and personalize what's happening in those communities. For members of the Senate, we get it every weekend when we go home to our local communities. We live and work there. I think they've got to explain to the Senate the kind of economic crisis that is taking place. If this was a hurricane, we'd be there already with emergency assistance. But because this comes in bits and fits and starts, we're not doing what we should be doing. One last question, please, operator.
Bill Mayer, state your publication.
Hi, Bill Mayer off with the Dispatch and Argus in the Quad Cities. This is kind of a two-parter for Congressman Hare. First of all, do you have an idea of what the unemployment rate is in your district? And also, I'm wondering, kind of what makes this bill different from other jobs bills that have been introduced?
It's about 11% district-wide, Bill, and to keep it really short, the difference in this bill is this puts people back to work immediately, and that's what we have to have, as I said.
Well, thank you very much for joining our call. Again, I want to thank Mayor Kautz and Mayor Ron Loveridge for joining us, and look forward to seeing the mayors when they're in Washington next week, and also to my colleagues, Congressman Keith Ellison and Congressman Phil Hare. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating on today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.